Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Thank you, Minister West, for that prayer. Thank you, choir, for the whole, and I'm talking about vision today. This weekend has been about leadership and vision. And, Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, before the wise men, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, "Where is Christ? Where the Christ was to be born?" So they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come the ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Amen. Amen. A new vision. The wise men went searching for Christ. And we've been reading this book, It. We know when our church has it, whatever it is. And we also know when we've lost it. When we don't have it like we used to. And a part of having it, that spirit, that energy that comes when you're in the presence of God, a part of having it is to search for his presence. And if we come to church, you know, we have all of this technology. We can have wonderful songs. We can have wonderful choirs. We can have great sermons. But ain't nobody seeking his presence. We want to be entertained. We want the pastor to tell a joke. We want the pastor to, you know, people say, "Oh, wow, he preached today." But we go out the same way. And so if we're going to have it, we have to be like the wise men. We have to go searching for his presence. You know, I read this story about President Lincoln. You know, everybody, you know, Republicans and Democrats now, they all want to look back to Lincoln when he was the hero of all presidents. President Lincoln, he says that he would go to church when he was president, and every time he would go to church, he would cause a commotion, you know, with all of the entourage and all that. But he would go on Wednesday night, and he would go into the pastor's study, and he would leave the door open so he could hear the sermon. And so one Wednesday night, he took his aide with him. And so the preacher preached a wonderful sermon, and afterwards the aide asked and said, "Well, Mr. President, what did you think about the sermon?" He said, "Well, you know, I thought it was well thought out. I thought it was well prepared. I thought it was well delivered." And so the young man said, "Oh, so you thought it was a great sermon?" He said, No, it wasn't a great sermon. Because he did not give us anything to do. It was just good for the hearing. It was good for the ear. But he didn't challenge us to do anything. And if we want to have it, it's not enough just to have religion in your head. You've got to get it in your heart. You've got to be able to see a vacuum of emptiness in our church and in our world and do something. You've got to be able to see the woman in Mozambique who's dying of AIDS and not just say, "Oh, that's sad," but it ought to touch your heart to do something to help people around the world. That's a great sermon. A great sermon is when it causes us to act. And I know a great sermon causes you to feel, but a great sermon ought to also cause you to see. And when it causes you to see, it ought to cause you to do. And if it doesn't cause you to do, then it's not much. And we're this generation where we like for people to go, "Oh, he said it. She, oh, did she sing? Oh, did she pray?" But did it touch your heart? Did it help you to see beyond your eyes? Did it help you to see with your heart? And that's what our vision is for our church. We need to help people to see with their hearts. Because we live in a time when nobody, one of my vision strategies for our church is we got to help people to become servant leaders again. Not enough just to be in a position to have a title. But we got to learn how to wash each other's feet. And we got to learn how to wash stinking feet. I mean, in the day that we live in, I know if I went around and did a survey, some of y'all got pretty feet. You ain't got no scales on them. You've been to the pedicure. You got a pedicure, a manicure, and every other kind of cure except a heart cure. And what we need is people who wash dirty feet and not complain. You know, I go to yoga, and I look at some terrible feet. And I got some terrible feet. And the text and the word is we got to be able to see. We got to be like those wise men. We got to go on a search for hurting people. We got to go on a search for people who are not pretty. We got to go on a search for people whose feet are not nice and smooth. They might even be stinking. But you and I have still got to go search and care for those people who are not like ourselves. And we're in this generation where we feel like, oh, we got a pretty church. So what? God ain't coming back for no building. He's coming back for hearts and minds and people and souls. People who are dying with AIDS and HIV. God's coming back. Look, what did you do for the least of these? Lincoln was right. A good sermon. A great sermon. Oh, we have good sermons. Good sermons. Good sermons tickle the ear. But great sermon goes from the head to the heart to the pocket to the feet that you will walk and care about people. So at Mount Olive Church, you know, our vision is for this season, this time in our ministry, our vision is that we have to learn how to be servants. Servants. Your PhD, servant. Social worker, servant. Preacher, pastor, servant. Missionary, servant. Then I think there's three things that we need to learn how to do. Now, you know, I'm telling you right now, this is a great sermon right here. This is great. You know, this is great. This is not a good, this is great. Because I'm trying to help us to learn how to do something. It's not about tickling your ears. If I've been able to help one person to go out of here and say, listen, I'm going to do something a little different than I did before I came in, then it's a great sermon. I mean, I know I preached one great sermon in the last 30 years. That's the one when I preached and Ray Agnew came in the next week and gave $300,000. That's a great sermon. I haven't been able to do that since. But it's all right if I can get somebody to volunteer and go and help a caregiver who's struggling to take care of a parent and give them a little break. That's a great sermon right there. If I can get somebody to take care of yourself a little bit better, go get a medical checkup because you might be struggling. You might think you've got AIDS or whatever, but you're just scared to go to the doctor. If I can get you to say, go get checked. That's a great sermon right there. If we give you a little better quality of life, that's a great sermon right there. If I can help you to see a little clearer, that's a great sermon. So God wants us to do three things. He wants us to take care of ourselves. Take yourself out to lunch. Take yourself, go get a massage if you can. But not only take yourself out to lunch and not only go on a vacation, but also do something for your soul. Go to Bible class. Everybody, you know, Everybody in the choir, on the deacon board, on the usher board, on the trustee board, on any board, you and I need the word of God. Ain't no sense in having a heathen singing about the love of God without at least trying to show that you learned something with about God. You know, we got people doing all kinds of crazy things in the church. God wants us to do something first for yourself. And my soul needs the Lord. And your soul needs the Lord. And if we don't search for nothing, we come to church searching for a man and searching for a woman. Why don't you search for God? And God will give you a man or a woman after his own heart. Do I have a witness? Some of these guys and some of these gals sitting here, you don't want them. They ain't ready for you yet. Don't you assume everybody sitting here is a saint, and that's the way it ought to be. Everybody ought not be a saint. Everybody ought to come in here seeking God, and God will make us a saint. You didn't come in here a saint. You became a saint after you worshiped here for a while. Do I have a witness in the house? This is a hospital for sinners, but you have to want it. You have to search for it. One of the things that I admire about my daughter, talk about it because she's not here. She might be listening on radio. She may be listening on radio. I don't know. But you know, visions don't come overnight. You might get the vision, but the victory of the fulfillment of the vision might take a long time. This child, she wanted to go to graduate school. She applied to Duke and she applied to Northwestern and she applied to God knows how many. I think it's been a year and a half, maybe longer than that. She told me the other day that she had spent $15,000 trying to get in graduate school, taking these programs for the exams and flying to this place and hotels for interviews at various colleges and universities. No, no, no. But the other day, she got a yes. You have to have your mind set up. A vision calls you to action. It calls you when you hear no. You got to keep trying. You got to keep struggling. You got to keep believing. A vision calls you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You've got to see it if nobody else sees it. If your father don't see it, if your mother don't see it, you got to keep pressing on. Same thing for church. Yeah. We can't look back and say, oh, the good old days were 1984. The good old days were 1990. The best days are ahead. But we've got to see it. We got to believe it. We got to seek God. We got to seek his presence. We got to get close to him. If we get close to him, it'll be a fire breaking out. It'll break out. But it's never going to break out if all we do is come in here and want to feel good. All we do is come in here and say, oh, they sing. Oh, God, that Scott boy, can he sing? But can it touch your spirit to make you do something? Did he sing enough to make you go to Bible class? Did he sing enough to make you go into your devotional closet? Did he sing enough to make you do something for your neighbor? First thing God wants us to do is he wants you to do something for yourself. Everybody, when I say get a manicure or get a massage, everybody, oh yeah, Rev, that's great. What about doing your devotionals? What about reading the Bible once a day? What about praying? What about turning down your plate and helping your neighbor who's struggling with? You don't have to look to Zimbabwe. You got neighbors right next to you with three kids struggling by themselves. What about just slipping in an envelope without your name on it? Just wanting to bless you. Look at somebody and say, that's a great sermon right there. He wants us to do something for ourselves. Then he wants us to do something for our church. God wants us to do something. This is God's. This is Jesus' bride. He wants us to help take care of his bride. And I'm not talking about your offering right now. I'm talking about you getting involved in something in the church. Time out for folk who just going to come in here and sit on the premises. What about standing on the promises of God? Read this other story about this professor, this young man who's in college somewhere. He was a bright young man. He had money. He had cars. He had girls. He was a handsome cat. He was smart, getting all A's. But he went to his professor and said, "Listen, I'm going to commit suicide." He had it all. He was a Jewish guy. He was like so many of our own children, young, bright, successful, but no purpose in their lives. And so the professor says, "I want you to go, before you commit suicide, I want you to go next door to the Jewish nursing home and ask them to direct you to some senior citizen, somebody who never gets any visitors. And just go in there and sit with him." He said, "Well, what do I say to him?" He says, "I don't know what you say to him, but find a way to give them hope. Just go say something to encourage them in their lives right now." So the young man went. Leo Pascalia said he didn't see the young man for the next 3 months. And one day he ran into him. He was smiling. He was taking senior citizens in wheelchairs to a ball game. He had found purpose in his life. If you are miserable in your life, you need to find how you can help somebody else. And if you find how to help somebody else, I guarantee you God will give you your joy back. Do I have a witness in the house? The reason that you are miserable, can't nobody stand to be around you. You can't even stand to be around yourself. You want to commit suicide? You need to find how to bless somebody else's life, and God will give you joy. Time out for Sunday morning church-going Christians never doing anything for the church, and people have to beg you to do something in church. We ought to have a rule that if you're going to become a Christian, you got to at least give 8 hours a week to the church and the community to help somebody in the world. And if you're not doing something for somebody, God wants you to do something for yourself. He wants you to do something for your church, and he wants you to do something for your community. Amen. Time out for church folk who only do something for their family and for their church. Because if that's the case, we'll never grow. You want it back? Do something for somebody. Not in your name, in Jesus' name. Fight for the poor. Help someone struggling with kids. Right now, somebody gave us a beautiful winter jacket. What kind of jacket was that? That's the one I showed you this morning. But it's a nice one. It's one of those expensive jackets. For a boy, medium size. Nice jacket. Somebody gave it to us. I said, "Barbara, let me take the jacket, you know, because otherwise it'll be at home, sitting in the closet. But it's wintertime. If the boy needs a jacket, he needs it now." So I got a nice jacket, Carol, that I'm bringing it to you. Find a boy, give it to him, not in May, now. Because he needs it now, amen? And if you can't find a boy, give it to a girl. They wear everything these days. Ain't nobody, if you're warm, you're warm. Amen? But the church, we want it back. We've got to show that we care. And you know something? Nobody cares how much you know until you show them how much you care. Ain't nobody, you're not getting any kudos because you're bright. You get kudos because you're a servant. And you can serve wherever you are. So, what did you come searching for today? The wise people, they went searching for Christ. They went searching for him. They saw his star. And they went looking for him. It was dark, but they still saw his star. You know, the vision has to be plain. And the vision of our church is The vision for this season is that you and I need to become servants. Reverend servant. Whatever your title is, servant. And if you and I can't be servants, we have nothing to rejoice over. And I see a time. If we will seek God in our personal lives, and if we seek God to be a servant in his church, doing something. You can't do everything. I'd rather have seven folk who I believe know the Lord than 35 perpetrating. It means more because you can catch the fire. You can catch it. Because you know that those people are searching. Those people are hungry for his presence. That those people have been broken by the word of God. Don't God deliver us from a church where nobody ever gets broken. The word just goes over their head, but it never pierces their soul and their heart. We need people who seek his presence and they are broken. That they are wailing in his presence in the house of the Lord. And somebody will catch fire. And if you heard bad enough. How many of you know sometimes God has almost got to kill us to save us? He got to break us down. And then when he does, when we seek his presence. I told that story in our leadership conference. Some preacher was saying, some of y'all going to get mad too, but I ain't worried about it. Preacher was telling the story. She says, you know, the problem with many Christians is you just don't give a damn. You don't give a damn that people are dying and going to hell every day. And you know, everybody was just like you. He said, damn. Preacher says, the sad part is you're more concerned that I use the word damn than you are that I said that people are dying and going to hell every day. Look at somebody say, we got to flip the switch. And when we get that concern about the loss, when we get that concern about people dying and going to hell, then it will touch, it will go from our heads to our hearts to our feet that we will walk and we will talk. And you know, the sad part is there are many of us in here. I read this stuff and I want to share it with you. Sometimes people say, yeah, you read all that stuff, but just give me the Bible. This is the Bible. You know, people tell me that all the time. You know, just give us the Bible. You know, the other thing I want to say sometimes, I'd rather have a reading preacher than one who never opened a book. That's my own defense. Talk to myself. But you know, the point is that I read this, that people, Christians, have heard 6,000 sermons. They heard 8,000 prayers. 10,000 hymns. And never ask one single person to come to Christ. How sad! 6,000 sermons. Let's assume out of the 6,000, 5 were great. 8,000 prayers. Oh, hallelujah. 10,000 hymns. And don't ask one single solitary, in my grandmother's words, nary one lost sinner out in the world to come to Christ. Something is wrong with our Christianity. You're preaching, Jackson. Go on. How sad. If you want it back, one thing we learn as men, when you're dating and whatever, you know, men, we know this. You got to learn how to be rejected. Can I get a witness, brother? when you see a beautiful woman, you wanna approach her, you wanna take her out. You know, you gotta get the nerve. You gotta develop the nerve to ask. And you might have to have 10 no's before you get to one yes. The same thing is true in Christianity when you evangelize in the lost. You can't get all hung up in having no's. It might take you 150 approaches to reach out to that lost person. But if you keep on pressing on, you might come across the right time at the right place. That it's just an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to take root in that person's life and you bring them to Christ. And finally, if you've heard all those sermons and all those hymns and all those prayers, you ought to be strong enough to take a few no's. Not strong enough to take a few no's, that means you and I are not praying hard enough ourselves. So this is why I know this is a great sermon. Because I'm asking you to do something. I ain't asking for your amens. Amen is good for my ego, but it's not good for the kingdom. I don't preach for ego. I don't preach for amens. That's one of the major sins that public speakers have. That's one of the major sins that performers have. That's one of the major sins that professional athletes have. They get all these amens, and when the amens don't come, they commit suicide. What I'm looking for you is to ask somebody, do they know Jesus? Amen. That's what my goal is. Five people by next Sunday. I don't care how you. And listen, don't worry about doing it perfect. I just don't know how to do it. Just ask them. How's your relationship with Christ? And they say, if they tell you, oh, there you are, them old holy rollers, take it. Keep stepping. Look for somebody and ask somebody. Look at somebody and say, you got homework. And then I'm going to ask you to find you a ministry in this church. If you already got a ministry in this church, do your ministry. Yeah. Show up. Be committed. Or get out of the way. It's beyond a name. Hey. I told you, Deacon Robinson told me the other day. He was downstairs. He told me, he says, you know, Thursday was deacon's meeting night. I said, oh, yeah, forgot. But he said, you know, Thursday before the first Sunday is deacon meeting night for the last 30 years and beyond. What he was doing was calling me to accountability. How many of you know preachers need to be held accountable? Everybody needs to be held accountable. And the same thing in your you know when your meeting is. Don't nobody have to tell you when your meeting. Don't nobody have to tell you when choir practice is. Even if they don't email, you know when you're singing. You know when you're on the pray. You know when you're on the usher. Be there. You know when you ought to call somebody and say, I can't be there. If you want it, you know, people, we just don't have it. It's just not like it used to be. You ain't like you used to be. You want it? You want the spirit to break out in here? You want the fire? You want the power? I dare you to have daily devotion. I dare you to pray. I dare you to come to prayer meeting. I dare you to go to Sunday school. I dare you to come to Bible. I dare you to be regular in your meetings when you are whatever you're supposed to do. I dare you to find something that you can do for the church. Never mind the kingdom, for the church. Rather than sit back. Sound system ain't working right today. Choir was awful today. Maybe the reason they're awful is because you didn't show up for rehearsal. Look at somebody and say, we want more. We want more than a casual Christian. Time out for this casual Christianity where you can come and do what you want to do. It's more. It requires more if you want it. I don't know about you, but I want it. I want it. I want it. I'm hungry for it. I'm thirsty for it. I want it. I'm hungry enough to repent. How many of you know that every now and then we have to repent? Just been too casual, too come and go. Anything goes. By church. And the other thing, too, I don't want to say that I'm not. Do I have a towel? Let me have some tissues over here. I don't want to say that I'm not concerned about empty pews, but I am. But I'm saying this. If all you in here, all of us in here, got the hunger for his presence, and we prayed, and we were humble, and we prayed for one lost person a day, if we had that one person on our minds every day, I ain't worried about the place filling up. If we fill up, can I get a witness in here? If we fill up, and if we just do these little simple things that I ask you to do, you know, take care of yourself, find a ministry in your church, do something in your community, go ask five people whether or not they know Christ, after a while, God will do something. I declare God will do something. There won't be room in the house. I mean, you won't have to manufacture a praise.